Welcome, everybody. Appreciate the time you're taking to join us today at TICBAC. For those obviously on the committee and those joining in to watch, we do appreciate the time you're taking. We have a relatively robust agenda, but I'm very confident we can get through that within the hour and a half allotted. First steps, as you always know, please, you know, if you can, mute yourself if you're not talking, but never, well, I guess I don't need to say don't put us on hold because we're not dealing with those phone issues. Just taking some routine matters to start off with, a motion to approve the minutes from our November 30th meeting. I'd entertain that motion.
Thompson moves to approve.
Second, Judge Larch.
All right, moved by Thompson, seconded by Member Larch. And any opposition to the approval of the minutes from the
Excuse me, Judge.
Yeah.
That was, this is Kim. I was just going to ask, are we going to do roll first?
Yep, we are. I'm just, you know me.
Yes.
So we're going to get right there, but I'm just trying to get the mundane stuff out of the way. Not that roll is not. But now that we've done that and the minutes have been approved, hearing no opposition, I'll deem the minutes approved. And getting back to the, as Kim Bartleson just noted, taking roll. Randy? I'm present.
Am I unmuted? Okay, you said present. Thank you. Ms. Fleming?
She's there.
Present, sorry.
Thank you so much. Judge Buckley? Judge Fannin? Oh, I see. Judge Game?
Present.
You? Judge Kelly?
Present.
Judge Larch?
Present.
Judge Ryan?
Here.
And Judge Buckley, I see you there. Judge Sachs?
Here.
Judge Sieber?
Here.
Judge Thompson?
Present.
You? And Judge Zahner?
He's there. Oh, no. I thought I saw him, but maybe not.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Brandy, he is not going to be able to make it, and so I have his report out today.
Thank you so much. Ms. Bartleson?
Here.
Mr. Finke? Mr. Harrigan?
Here.
Mr. Kim?
Here.
Mr. Landry?
Here.
Ms. Levere?
Here.
Mr. Riley?
Here.
Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Good afternoon, I'm here.
And advisory members, Mr. Wardlaw?
Good afternoon.
And Ms. Mueller?
Here.
Thank you so much.
Great. Looks like we got everybody but one, so we really appreciate that. We've already done the public, the minutes, and as is typical with our Zoom meetings, we have no public comment that I'm aware of. Had we been, it would have been distributed to all members. Did I miss any, Brandy? There's no public comment.
Correct.
Right. Okay. So that gets us right to our agenda. We're going to mix things up just a little bit, folks, because I think taking the informational item of the governor's budget proposal will sort of give us a lens through our discussion of our other items, namely the other budget priorities. So we're going to turn right to Fran. She was aware we're going to make this change, so she's not surprised. So Fran, if you wouldn't mind for a few moments updating us on the proposed budget 22-23.
Thank you very much, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, members. Happy New Year to all of you. Appreciate the opportunity to join you today and provide a brief update on the 22-23 governor's budget, which was released this past Monday. So for the upcoming fiscal year, the governor has proposed a $286 billion total spending plan. The budget reflects a $45.7 billion surplus, of which $20.6 billion is for discretionary purposes. The budget allocates 86% of this discretionary surplus to one-time investments to maintain fiscal stability. And the budget is projected to be structurally balanced in 25-26, which is the last year of the state's multi-year forecast. State revenues remain strong in California as high-income earners continue to do well despite the economic challenges from the pandemic. However, it's important to note that the economic forecast used in the budget proposal was finalized last November, so it does not consider the recent surge of the Omicron variant So thus, the ongoing pandemic remains a potential risk to the forecast, but the revenues will be updated again at May revision. The governor's proposed budget is focused on five primary areas: the COVID pandemic, climate change, homelessness, high cost of living, and public safety issues. That's the high-level budget. Specific to the judicial branch, the budget provides a historic $5.2 billion in operating and facility funds for the branch. This is the largest budget ever for the state judiciary. The budget for us includes $891 million in new funding for critical investments in essential services. These reflect the funding priorities of the Chief Justice and advance equal access to justice for all Californians. I'll briefly highlight some of the key proposals included in the budget that impact the trial courts. I'll start off with court operations. There's $100 million general fund ongoing to promote greater fiscal equity for the trial courts, $84.2 million ongoing general fund to provide the trial courts a 3.8% CPI adjustment to address inflationary costs, $39.9 million general fund in budget year and $39.1 million ongoing for 23 additional Superior Court judgeships, and the budget also includes funding for the associated security costs. There's $167.8 million general fund backfill for the trial court trust fund. This is to address the continued decline in fine and fee revenues expected in the budget year. $28.7 million general fund for trial court employee health benefits and retirement costs. $13.4 million ongoing general fund to backfill revenues lost from the repeal of fees in AB 177, which was signed last year. $1.3 million one-time general fund in the budget year to conduct a study of probate conservatorships in California, develop statewide recommendations as required by AB 1194. The administration also proposes budget bill language, which would authorize general fund backfill to the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund, the IMF, to ensure critical trial court programs remain funded. The budget includes significant investments in judicial branch technology modernization. There's $34.7 million general fund in budget year, increasing to $40.3 million through 2526 and ongoing to support branch modernization and technology initiatives. This funding in this area builds on the $25 million that was included each year in current year and the prior year for IT modernization efforts. Budget includes $15 million general fund in budget year, $3.8 million ongoing to implement a data governance and information framework. There's also $33.2 million general fund each year for 2 years and $1.6 million ongoing to implement and support remote access to courtroom proceedings pursuant to AB 716. And there's $2.6 million in budget year and $1.7 million ongoing to implement and support electronic filing interfaces for various restraining orders for all the trial courts required by AB 887 and SB 538. This is a notable accomplishment for the branch for the budget to include significant funding for the two aforementioned items to implement recently enacted legislation. Moving on to facilities, the budget includes $40 million one-time general fund to backfill the state court facilities construction fund and maintain existing service levels. There's $15.4 million ongoing general fund for critical building repairs in the trial courts and an additional $4 million in reimbursement authority to reflect additional funding from the counties. And finally, $263 million in budget year to fund five new courthouse construction projects and continue funding of three previously approved projects. So those are the primary highlights. It's important to note that the governor's budget is a proposal and it's the beginning of negotiations with the legislature and numerous stakeholders. Release of the budget marks the official start of discussions with the administration, kicks off legislative hearings, meetings with legislative staff, leads us to the governor's May revision when information is updated. And all of this leads to a final budget that'll be approved and enacted by the start of the new fiscal year on July 1. Concurrent with the state process, the judicial branch is also initiating its own process to develop budget proposals and funding priorities for the 23-24 budget cycle, which is the next cycle. And a discussion of those budget priorities for the trial courts is on today's take-back agenda. So that concludes the budget update. We're looking forward to working with you and supporting you throughout this process. And we're happy to address any questions you might have.
Fran, thanks very much. Any questions for Fran just about the initial budget that's rolling out? All right, I don't see anybody trying to get anybody's attention. So Fran, thanks for that. I think you guys all have this material as well. So as Fran, I think, mentioned, it's welcome news. It gives us some welcome challenges as we move through the next year in between now and when the budget is finalized, getting ready for potential allocation issues related to some of these proposals, which again is welcome news. And we do appreciate that and the efforts that went into getting at least the proposed budget. So that gets us now going back in order on our agenda to the trial court budget change proposals, as well as BCPs. This is our only action item on for today. And we've done this in years past to the members that are just new to us. This is a very typical procedure for us at the beginning of the year. And as Fran just noted, it's timed very precisely and to benefit of TICBAC to help us move forward into the next fiscal year. So the budget that Fran just talked about, and I'm just stating the obvious, is for the 22-23 fiscal year. That budget was impacted by the steps we took a year ago today for BCPs. So now we're looking forward to the 23-24 fiscal year as we start to develop BCPs that will then be advocated as this budget that we're just talking about is finalized after June. John Wardlaw's on with us as OTCO, and they mentioned in Martin's call that as soon as the budget is finalized, the work on the next year's budget begins. So that's what we're getting ready for. So each member was asked to liaison with certain courts just to get their perspective as to some important BCPs. Brandy's been through this. She's going to go down the list of all the members and ask them for the information they obtained. My guesstimate is that we have probably heard many of the same thoughts on priorities from courts. So I'm not trying in any way to deter anybody from speaking and sharing, but as if some of these suggestions get more repetitive, it's appropriate just to say the court I spoke with had the same objectives, the court I spoke with had the same priorities. But obviously, if there's things you'd like to add, I'm very confident we're going to get through this agenda without any problem. So with that, I'm going to ask Brandy to start down the list, and I think she's going to turn to me. Brandy, anything else you want to say before we start down the list?
No, thank you. And yes, I'm ready to begin with you, Judge Conklin.
Great. Okay. So I liaisoned with Sacramento and spoke to their presiding judge, Mike Bowman, who, if any of you care, started his career with me more than 30 years ago at the Kern County DA's office. So I know Mike, and it was a good conversation, just if any of you care. But it did allow for a nice candid conversation about their priorities along with their CEO, Lee Seals. They started off the discussion by just noting how appreciative they were that the BCPs that we've been talking about are reflected in the current proposal. And candidly, their first comments to me were, well, we don't want to mess anything up by asking for more. And I mentioned to them that's very appropriate, but this is for the following fiscal year when we still need to be able to state our priorities. So circling back to that, they felt that one of the top priorities was the ongoing CPI that is in this proposed budget. But remember, and John will correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not an ongoing yet. It is an annual allotment, but it is not yet in as permanent funding, for lack of a better description, a CPI increase. And so their hope was that we'd continue to strive for that. They had some other concerns more related to methodology and allocation, especially for complex civil litigation and other things that uniquely impact Sacramento, and discussed with them the option they have to go into TICBAC subcommittees, mainly FMS, to express those concerns, and they were very appreciative of that. I also, as Brandy mentioned, we go to our own courts. Judge Gabe, I hope I'm not taking any of your thunder away, but we both spoke to our CEO, Mike Elliott, and our presiding judge, David Kalmakarian, and our chief financial officer, Queenie Hill, and they also thought that the CPI and ongoing CPI was a significant item that we should continue to strive for in the 23-24 BCPs.
Judge Conklin, this is John Wardlaw, if I may. Just for clarity, the $84.2 million that is proposed for the CPI adjustment, that is of an ongoing nature, just as the $72.2 million that we got in the current year. Those dollars are ongoing. What we had initially asked for was an indexing that would keep pace as inflation continues to impact the courts, that we wouldn't have to make subsequent asks. It would just be fixed and adjusted on the natural. But just for clarity, the $84.2 million is of an ongoing nature. Should there be a subsequent need for additional adjustments, we would have to make an ask.
Great. I really appreciate that, John. So when we talk about the CPI, that's and that, as you say, on the natural, is something we're hoping will ultimately come in play. Great. I appreciate that clarification very much.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I think those are my courts.
Rebecca.
Thank you, Brandy. So I was the liaison for Stanislaus, and they have a relatively short list, but I think very common with a lot of us. Additional equity funding, they were very pleased with the budget and would like to see that continue. Ongoing money for CTMF, I'm guessing that's the technology. I haven't checked my acronym list today, but I think that's the technology. But CTMF funding ongoing, the ongoing CPI indexing that John was referencing, and facility lease funds in particular as they relate to new judgeships, but facility leasing funds. In addition to that, I will be reporting out on Santa Clara. And Santa Clara's list, while I want to give an honorable mention to the fact that Santa Clara still feels that we should be addressing the obligations locally that were connected to revenue streams that are no longer available, such as civil assessments. That is not something we're proposing as an item, but we want to keep that out there, that we think that has to be addressed. Funding, you know, on occasion we have had relief in funding, relief provided for costs related to Phoenix, and we're proposing that we put something forward that does kind of on a permanent ongoing basis pay for the Phoenix costs and perhaps even case management licensing costs on a going forward basis. Health and safety compliance, we have found that there is a very significant workload around reporting and working with OSHA and working with our employees on all the new health and safety issues. So we're recommending that we address that, and we're calling it health and safety compliance, and we're saying ongoing as we feel like we need staffing for that. Additional janitorial and maintenance funding, that has been a huge increase for us the last couple of years. Interpreter funding, this year we were able to benefit from some interpreter funding, but we'd like to see that as an ongoing funding. Perimeter security around building and property safety. We've had a number of issues that have, you know, those, I guess you pay for the safety of it ahead of time or you pay for the repair afterwards. And so we're suggesting that we address perimeter security for the buildings. And lastly, increased percentage of the carryover funding for funds remaining at the end of the year. And Brandy, if you would like, I can give Judge Zahner's court since he will not be here, or I can wait till his turn.
I'm happy to take it. Can we go back between, Rebecca, the safety, the health and safety compliance and interpreter funding? Was that janitorial maintenance?
Right, janitorial and light maintenance funding. Thank you. A significant increase with COVID.
Okay, yeah. I'm happy to take Judge Zegner's information.
And so he was the liaison for Mendocino, and they did not have any specific asks, but did feel like there were some common themes that had been represented by some of the other courts that they had talked with. And so they wanted to throw their support behind the majority ideas. And so they did speak with him, were happy with some of the things they heard from their colleagues, and they're gonna kind of throw their weight behind whatever we decide is the highest priority.
Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. Judge Buckley.
And, Kings and San Diego. Nothing for Kings. San Diego, I started the process a little later than I should have. And the preliminary discussion I had, there's nothing new. But I told them we agreed they were going to talk with the CEO, et cetera, and get back. So I'll follow up with Brandy if there is anything new. But I doubt it based on the preliminary conversation. It's already been covered.
Right. And anything for Los Angeles, Judge?
I apologize. I did not. I missed that. I will follow up with you on that for sure. I did not. I went by the chart only, and I did not talk with RPJ. I will do that this afternoon and get back to you, Brandy. Apologize.
No problem. Thank you so much. Judge Fannin.
Good afternoon. So I had my court, Contra Costa, Lassen, and Mariposa, and they were remarkably similar. The top three for everyone was the CPI issue. The second for everyone was technology, the remote hearings, and someone wanted digitizing, Mariposa wanted help digitizing files. And they also, I'm including this in technology, I don't know if it goes there or not, they wanted online language interpretation services as well. And then the next was new courthouses.
Got it. And Judge, does that cover Contra Costa as well? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Judge Gabe.
Good afternoon. In addition to Fresno County, which Judge Conklin did a beautiful job summarizing our priorities, I had Amador County and Madera County. I reached out to Amador County the end of last month, and it didn't get a response back. But based on what their priorities were last year, I think they're probably similar to what they are this year, and likely in line with Madera County, which the top three for Madera County are negotiated salary increases, technology funding in the courtroom, and digitizing records. And I will note that last year for Amador County, their top three were case management system, digitizing records, and staff salary increase.
Great. Okay, I got it. Thank you so much. Judge Kelly.
So I had Sierra, Alpine, and then my court, Santa Barbara. So with Sierra, wrapping into Alpine, they wanted to have the methodology for the floor-funded courts reviewed, but I believe that that's going to be out to a subcommittee. Mm-hmm. And other than that, they also wanted funding for administrative assistance for the CEOs to assist with the ongoing contractual obligations for IT. They don't have IT personnel on staff, so funding for more administrative assistance for the chief executive officers to deal with the ongoing contracts and the costs for IT, similar to what Judge Gabe said, ongoing IT costs. For Santa Barbara, they're asking for discretionary funding to address salary inequities to help compete in the tighter labor markets, discretionary funding to increase court reporter salaries to help recruit and retain court reporters for all case types, which is different than the funding for the specified court reporters. IT funding to expand the reliance on technology, such as a computer services assistant, to enhance remote access, data scientists to create a data dashboard for calendar and operational management, business application analysts to review operations and implement robotic process automating,
which includes software acquisition, consulting services, and a project management position to analyze opportunities to automate where possible, and a training coordinator for court staff training.
Got it. And Judge Kelly, does that include Santa Barbara's as well?
Yes, that last part, starting with discretionary funding for salary inequity, that began Santa Barbara's list.
I have that. Thank you very much. Judge Larsh.
Thanks. I had Calaveras County, and as Judge Conklin with Sacramento, talking to Tim Healy, he said they didn't want to upset the fruit basket. Things were going pretty well. Their only big concern was self-help. They had some funding and apparently had to pay back some of the funds, or they went over budget, and they thought they needed a little more help getting their self-help up to speed. Other than that, they were happy with our priorities.
Right. And as for Orange Superior Court, Judge, do you have that information, or will I receive that from David as we get?
You'll receive it from David. Perfect. But we're in line with the priorities at this point. We're very happy with the budget.
Great. Thank you very much, Judge. Judge Ryan.
Thank you. I had Colusa and Placer counties. I was only able to hear from Colusa, despite a couple efforts to hear back on, Placer rather than Colusa. I did not hear back from Colusa. And I'm sorry I didn't do as Judge Gabe did, which is go back and look at what their priorities were last year. That might have been helpful. But I did ask them for five top priorities. The first that I got was inflationary cost policy, a commitment for annual inflationary cost increases. Courthouse construction, continuing to move forward with all of the immediate need courthouses on the Judicial Council's five-year plan. Judgeships, should the governor's proposal to add 23 additional judgeships either fail to obtain support from the legislature or fail to meet the full need of judges, this should remain a priority for the branch. Civil assessment swap, a permanent switch to end the direct funding of the judicial branch through civil assessment revenue. It should be shifted into the general fund. And then finally, trial court staffing for IT security and data analytics. If it's not already addressed in the governor's current budget proposal, they were requesting additional funding for trial courts to hire IT security and data analytics specialists, and says likely one per court for each position for a small medium court, and then scaling up for large and extra large courts. I didn't know we had the category of extra large courts, but I guess I can think of the one that might fit that category. So that's my report.
Great. Thank you, Judge.
Sure.
Judge Sachs.
Hello, everybody. Sorry I'm appearing telephonically. I've moved to new chambers and I haven't set up my video as of yet. But I was tasked with reaching out to Yuba County as well as handling our court. As far as Yuba County is concerned, they are interested in increased funding for armed security at their courthouse, both at the entry as well as additional security for all their judges. They've let me know it's their position, the county's position, that the funding they receive from the state is inadequate to support the needs they have for the bailiffs in the courtroom and at the courthouse. Another concern they had is they have some unique ADA issues involving their courthouse, and they are interested in continued funding so that they're able to fund remodeling for those courtrooms, as well as jury box issues. And that's about the sum of what they requested. As far as our county is concerned, San Bernardino County, we would join in the comments as it relates to the CPI and the new judgeships. Additionally, we would be a proponent of continued and perhaps increased funding for facilities. We are in line to get two new juvenile departments for our juvenile court here downtown San Bernardino. but we have a significant major need for a new courthouse in the high desert to serve the people up there. And that's basically from, if you're familiar with our county, the top of the Cajon Pass all the way up to the Nevada border. We have a courthouse in Victorville that we've maxed out the space. We also have a courthouse in Barstow. We've maxed out that space, and there's an anticipated 100,000 new folks moving into that area within the next 5 years. So we need some help there. Additionally, we are supportive of the efforts to promote equality in the workload funding, moving the courts to a general average of close to 85%. Our court has been below that level for quite some time. We're currently at about 76%, and we could really use the adjustment. Also, self-help funding, because of the size of our county and some of the difficulty we have in servicing the folks out at the Colorado River or in the middle of the desert, we are rolling out some pilot programs. You may be aware of something called DASH, which is a way in which folks remotely can access our self-help services from, for instance, we're working with the City of Needles and their library to set up a kiosk where folks out there can actually remote into self-help in San Bernardino to address some of their legal issues. So we're very supportive of continued investment in self-help as we move on through 2026. And then finally, again, we're supportive of the COVID backlog funding. It's had a significant impact on our court. And that's all I have to report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Judge Siebert.
I think he's on mute.
Oh.
Oh, there we go. Sorry about that. Yeah, I had Plumas County, Santa Cruz, and our own county, Tuolumne County. And a lot of the similar things were brought up by those three counties, as has already been talked about. One of the ones that came up in, universally among all three was a need to improve our technology capacity and have the funds to do so. In the smaller counties, Tuolumne County and Plumas County, there was reference to needing to be able to pay for additional IT staff, that both counties have just one IT person, and it's not enough with all the new requirements for remote proceedings in the civil arena and just dealing with the remote issues that have come up because of COVID. We don't have enough help in our technology capacities in those two counties, at least. That was not brought up by Santa Cruz, but Santa Cruz was their priorities were the same CPI discussion that people have had. They also were concerned about the facilities maintenance. They're on the list for a new courthouse, and they wanted to make sure that stayed in place. There was also discussion on the smaller counties, Tuolumne and Plumas, of a need for additional funding for interpreters, for visiting judges, and because it's difficult in these remote counties to get visiting judges, the funding for that has been a problem. And then the last one was, let me get it here, a reference to getting funding for supervised visitations. In the counties where we don't have social services entities to help with that. So those were the ones that came up in the conversations I had with the presiding judges in three counties.
Thank you. Judge Siebert, as it related to the visiting judges, was the interpreter funding request or interest for the visiting judges, or are those two different things?
They're two different things. This was Plumas County that had mentioned the visiting judges issue.
Okay.
Specifically what they said, and just looking at my notes, the number and availability of assigned judges in remote counties has plummeted. We're finding, hoping efforts can be made to somehow fund and enlist more assigned judges for small courts.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Judge Thompson.
Good afternoon. I did not hear back from Imperial, so I have nothing to report on Nevada County. CPI was already addressed, and Mr. Wardlaw addressed the issue of what we had talked about was a catch-up proposal, given that the current CPI is targeted at 6 to 7, and the 3.8 doesn't keep up with inflation. But also, looking at the CPI at actual, currently 3.8, the actual expenditures is the current model. If you flip that and put it as to calculated need, it may help with a catch-up in parity among the courts. For those that are below, if you will, that threshold, whether we talk 83%, 85%, whatever it may be. Additionally, general unrestricted funds to help bring up those courts, which we are one below currently. And look to continuing, not just the retiree unfunded or the retiree reimbursement of employee benefits. I said it, retiree, employee reimbursement of health benefits, but also look at the retiree cost of unfunded actuarial liability. It's believed the governor is paying that down for the state and perhaps could do that for the benefit of the courts as well, recognizing stability that that would bring for all. Beyond that, we can go down the list with courthouse construction, additional money, et cetera, but we were only asked for the top three, so I'll stop there.
All right. Is there anything below on that list? So, for example, courthouse construction has been mentioned before. Beyond your top three, is there anything else we haven't heard, Judge?
I think we have already talked about additional funds to bring that parity with unrestricted funds, General. I think we heard that already. The answer would be no.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Okay, Ms. Bartleson.
Good afternoon. I have, of course, Humboldt, but then also Siskiyou. And so far, the things for Humboldt and Siskiyou have already been mentioned, with the exception of Siskiyou has brought up the raise the trial court reserve cap. So that's something that I have not yet heard.
Okay. All right. Does that cover it, Kim?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Finke.
Thank you. I spoke to Enyo and Kern, and I talked to myself, which I seem to be doing a lot lately. I think everything is repetitive. I'll go through it quickly. I think as Kim just said, there was interest in raising the fund balance cap from 3% to possibly 5%. There was a lot of interest in a BCP specifically targeted at court reporter recruitment and retention. I think there's a lot of concern that court reporter schools are closing across the state, and any money that can go towards the recruitment side would be appreciated. As many people have said, there is certainly a need for ongoing or more money for facilities. And then there was also an idea just about recruitment and retention of staff generally. And it's that one's not super fleshed out, but you know, I think the courts are experiencing the great resignation as everyone is. And so any thoughts on how we can not only get folks in the doors of the courts, but keep them in would be most welcome. So that's it for me.
Thank you. And then as far as the recruitment and retention, both words were also used for the court reporter.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
Exactly. Get them and keep them.
Got it. Thank you very much. Mr. Harrigan.
Good afternoon. I'll attempt to be brief. I was assigned Riverside and San Benito, and I will be reporting on behalf of Tehama as well. Had the opportunity to speak with both of the CEOs there, and they were very helpful and generous with their time, and I just wanted to let them know I appreciated that in case they were listening. Riverside's number one priority is judgeships. And they're quite short in the Inland Empire, and by far their number one priority. And number two is the CPI increase that has already been mentioned. As far as San Benito is concerned, they gave me one priority and one priority only, and that was for maintenance dollars, including deferred maintenance. And so while they're fortunate to have a relatively new building completed in 2014, they've had some unexpected maintenance-related issues that have been popping up recently, and so that is their number one priority. Tehama is, moving to Tehama, Brandy, I didn't realize that we had a cap on the number of priorities, so I'm going to mention, I think, six really quickly. CPI would be the top of the list
for Tehama. Kevin, if there's more than six, let's go through them. I don't want us to miss anything.
No, I heard someone mention three, and so just knowing I had more on my list, okay. I just want to acknowledge I might be going over, but I'll keep rolling through. So,
start from the top for Tehama, please.
Okay, will do. CPI is number one. The continued backfill of civil assessments and MOE would be number two. Maintenance dollars, new construction, and lastly, additional judgeships. And of course, we would always support an increase to the cap on fund balances from three to five. So that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Landry.
I have a list of 27. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you. I spoke to Tulare in San Francisco, and then Yolo is obviously on the list. This was all before the budget, by the way, the proposed budget that was approved by the governor. So, and it was such a great budget, and I'm really thankful for all the work that went into that. So some of this might change if I circled back to the courts now, but the things that are on the list, a lot of it has been mentioned. Tulare mentioned equity. We know that's in the governor's budget. CPI on an annual ongoing basis, that's been mentioned. Civil assessment backfill is on their list as well. And then funding for new judgeships and increased funding for capital projects. So we know a lot of that's already in the governor's budget, thankfully. San Francisco mentioned also the CPI and new facilities funding and prioritizing the immediate needs list so that it could move their project up as well. As far as YOLO goes, I have on our list the CPI indexing specifically versus the ongoing, which is, as we know, John already said, is in there. So referring to the indexing. Private perimeter security increases. Increased interpreter funding. And a fund balance increase. Thank you.
And Sean, you're referring to the fund balance cap, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
So after the fund balance increase perimeter security increases, what was that? What was after that one?
Interpreter funding increases.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks.
And see where we are. Krista, please.
Yes, thank you. So I was assigned Mono and MODOC, and I spoke to both of their CEOs. Like Sean, it was before the budget came out, so things may have changed since then. But much of what they listed has already been said, so I won't repeat that. The other items they have on their list that have not been mentioned yet is fine and fee revenue backfill generally. MODOC mentioned their priority was raising the BLS factor in the model to 1.0 for cluster one courts. The other item that they had listed hasn't been mentioned yet is funding for mental health competency evaluations under PC 1368. And for Lake, our priorities have already been mentioned, the CPI and court construction, judge tips, those are all already on the list. So.
Thank you very, can you, you know, Krista, can you repeat that penal code number for me, please? On the
sure, 1368.
1368, I got the 68. Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
We are on, Mr. Riley.
Good afternoon. I had Sonoma and Shasta courts. I wasn't able to connect with Sonoma, but she's going to write a brief synopsis and I'll get it to you, her priorities later. But for Shasta Court, pretty much everything that that has been mentioned here today, CPI and equity funding, were on her list, but specifically, number one was four additional judgeships, increased funding for juvenile dependency counsel, maintenance fund, continued funding for facility maintenance for new facilities, the costs for transcripts from electronic recordings, and the fund balance cap increase.
And remind me again, this was what's court?
This is Shasta.
Shasta, thank you, got it. Okay, please continue.
And for San Joaquin, everything has been said, the CPI increase, the equity funding, the immediate and critical need courthouse construction, funding for ongoing costs related to technology, licensing, and security, and non-sheriff security funding.
Thank you very much. Four more members to go. Thanks everyone for your patience as we go through this. Mr. Rule, you're up.
Good afternoon, everyone. I reached out to Del Norte and Glenn in addition to Monterey. Did not hear back from Glenn. They had an interim CEO who departed in December. Did not hear back from her before she left. For Del Norte, similar to what everybody's been saying, the CPI, especially indexed, as John was saying. Also, technology funding, ongoing technology funding, and costs associated with security. In particular, implementing a secured single point of entry into the courthouse. For Monterey, again, CPI index, workload funding, interpreter funding has been mentioned. A new one, increased family law facilitator funding, AB 1058. And like Santa Barbara and Alameda, we would advocate for discretionary dollars to increase salaries, stay competitive, recruitment and retention, and including for court reporters in particular. And last but not least, courthouse construction. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Taniguchi.
Hi, my courts were Merced and Ventura, as well as our local court, San Mateo. Much as what has already been said are the top priorities for these courts. The CPI adjustment, equity funding. I know Ventura is very was concerned with that, as well as judgeships. In San Mateo, I think our main thing here is really an increase for interpreters, and that in both staff as well as just the general number of interpreter assignments. One thing for Ventura that I wanted to bring up was, they have non-sheriff security funding costs. They're basically contracts in their regular operating budget, unlike many other courts, and they have very little mechanism to increase contract costs there. The other thing that they brought up, and I think this might be a theme among other courts, is a need for increased IT support staff because of all the IT improvements we've had to make over the last couple of years with remote proceedings. They just are not able to maintain all of the new equipment and all the new software that they brought in. And so they're looking for additional support for basically IT. That's what I have from ours.
All right, so we've covered them all, is what I'm hearing. We're good, Neil? Yes, okay, thank you very much. All right, Mr. Taylor.
So I had Sutter and Trinity and reached out to both. Sutter's priority was continued funding of judicial positions. Trinity did not have anything additional to add. And for Solano, annual ongoing CPI increase would be 1, 2, and 3.
Noted. Thank you. Mr. Yamasaki, thank you for waiting.
Oh, thank you very much. The good news is I think a lot of the ground has been covered already, but I was assigned to hear back from San Luis Obispo and Napa. I only heard back from Napa. And like everybody else, I think that they've recognized the importance in having as a priority the CPI. They did mention what was also included in the budget by the governor, the equity funding, which was something that we in Orange as well are very supportive as well, but also something that Neil just touched upon, and that is the recognition that the technical demands have been increasing significantly. And, you know, this happens to be an area where we have very, very capable individuals in coming up with technical solutions, but clearly the demand is very significant and continues to expand, as Neil had identified some of the things that are our new reality in terms of trying to do business. So that is another priority that that they've identified as needing to have you know, some consideration in the budgets as well. As far as Orange is concerned, again, we have been focused on trying to land on stable funding, and I think the CPI is one of those things. As John had mentioned, it's ongoing. Consideration for the equity funding is also a big priority, and hope, which has also been included as well. But a slight nuance as it relates to the technology. I know a few years back there had been some funding made available to help courts replace some of the case management systems. And so we went through a period of time where we mostly are current, but there are some courts out there that need to replace their systems as well, and they're not inexpensive. The new funding that has been made available in the areas of technology appear to be kind of one time in nature, or identified for innovative solutions that we have. And I think that if we can't necessarily identify a separate line of funding for that, perhaps just an earmark that these sorts of priorities can be considered for that purpose. And this is something that can take place over a number of years, because it's very difficult to execute the implementation of a case management system sometimes in less than 4 years. But that's something that I think should be folded into some of the list of priorities that we have in subsequent years. And lastly, as we start strengthening our fiscal abilities with some of the monies that are coming in, I think to better prepare some of the demands that are going to be facing us in the future, recognizing a slight increase in the cap is something that I think would benefit all of us. We do our best work when we're able to plan and prepare for the future, and getting some movement on the cap will help us along that path. While revenues seem to be somewhat on an upward trend, while I would like to think it's going to be permanent, we all know that it won't be. And so helping us smooth out some of those rough patches, I think, would be something that would benefit all and would be a priority of ours here in Orange. And one last thing that I would say is the priorities that have been included in the governor's budget, I don't think happened just out of thin air. I think it was a recognition by the chief and Martin and other members of the Judicial Council in hearing the needs that we have as a branch. They're extremely meaningful. They're very difficult to obtain, and they were able to make that advocacy so successful that it was built into the budget. So I just wanted to take a moment to say bravo to them and all of you and the work that you have done in helping get the word out in identifying the demands that we have here. And so thank you, and that concludes my report.
Thank you, David.
So typically what we do is, and Brandy, I don't mean to step on anything you were going to say, but we step back and develop a list. And I know there's some common themes that have come through here, but there's also quite a bit of unique requests. And so, Brandy, I'm not sure what your thoughts are about folks many times. For those of you that are new, those of you that are with us, you remember we do an action by email. So we Brandy does a great job. You can tell she's been taking copious notes. She then summarizes, gives us a breakdown. There's usually a pretty clear break between the top 3 to 5 and then things under that. And then it goes out for action by email to approve. Brandy, what are your thoughts?
I would appreciate that opportunity. Yes, we did hear a few common themes, but again, there are some other areas in there that I think are worth everyone kind of revisiting and voting on. An action by email could also give us another couple of days to hear back from, I believe it's Judge Buckley and Mr. Riley that are going to get back to me. So that would be a fantastic next step.
Great. Then if there's no objections from anybody, I'm sorry for my clock chiming in the background. If there's no objections from anybody, that's what we'll do. And Brandy's very timely about that. So I'm not going to put a time limit on her, but she'll get that out as promptly as possible. So I also want to echo the thanks that's been voiced by many people about the work done with John's staff, Zlatko, Fran, obviously Martin, and everybody on down. Also, notably, the members of this group. It's a lot of work to reach out and liaison. We started doing this a few years ago, and I think it's very effective, and I think it's paying off. So I really do appreciate it. Before we move on, so that's our only action item. So we're going to defer action until the action by email comes out. Before we move on, though, anybody have any parting comments or thoughts? I guess I should acknowledge that our CEO also, Brandy, and this is just a duplicate, but she also did voice the trial court equity, but that's just to join in the voice. Okay. All right. Hearing no further requests at all on that action item, we'll defer it and we'll move now to our informational items. We've already, thanks to Fran, covered the budget, and we're now moving to the adjustment request process, ARP updates. And I think Oksana is with us. There she is. Oksana, thank you. I'll kick it to you.
Thank you very much, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Oksana Tak, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. This report provides the committee with update on two adjustment request proposals, ARPs in short, submitted last year and reviewed by the Funding Methodology Subcommittee. In January 2021, two identical ARPs were submitted by Humboldt and Siskiyou Superior Courts. They are provided in attachments A and B. The request sought to modify the Bureau of Labor Statistics Adjustment, BLS, to create a floor for Cluster 2 courts and extend the floor to Cluster 1 courts if the BLS factor negatively impacts their workload formula allocation. These issues were raised previously and considered by FMS. That review resulted in evaluation of Cluster 2 courts and the workload formula model. The analysis showed that Cluster 2 courts tend to have a lower BLS factor compared to courts in other clusters, therefore have a lower full-time equivalent value used in the workload formula. But when the funding level is considered, Cluster 2 courts generally do not appear to be in a funding disadvantage. FMS discussed the idea of adjusting the BLS factor and decided that doing so would negate the premise of applying a wage index. The Humboldt and Siskiyou ARP submission were considered at FMS during the February 18, 2021 meeting, and FMS voted to continue to study Cluster 2 courts as part of its annual work plan. It was determined that no BLS adjustment would be made in response to the ARP submissions. The report also includes details on the 2022 ARP submission process currently in progress, outlines background and policy guidelines, and provides a brief summary of previously received ARPs. That concludes our presentation, and we're happy to take any questions.
Oksana, thank you so much for your typically thorough presentation. We appreciate that. It's also in the materials, folks, that you have, but are there any follow-up questions for Oksana before we move on? Great, I hear none. Thank you again, Oksana, appreciate it very much. Folks, our next informational item is item 3, the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee annual agenda. I don't think it's necessary to just read what's in your materials. These are all set forth beginning at page 29. But I am going to summarize briefly, and people think I'm bragging, but this committee has done an extraordinarily efficient and effective job over the past year. I'm not going to echo the COVID concerns. You all know them. But they impact all of us, but they impact the budget in particular and moves necessary to accommodate court work given that budget. And you folks have pivoted. You've been available for phone calls, and I'm sure John and his staff appreciate it, Martin on down, about the work that you have all done to assist with budget services too and their work. We always mention it. I always get concerned that we mention it so often people ignore it, but one of my phrases, you know me, I have a lot of phrases, but it's the pros from Dover, and those folks get us through this and give us what we need to do our work. So the agenda items are there, the achievements are there. Just a couple things I wanted to mention in particular, and it has been mentioned throughout, we are continuing to work to adjust and address the review of court clusters and floor funding and the trial court pension fund, with also work on interpreter funding. So that came up during our BCP discussions. It's come up numerous times, and that's something that FMS in particular and other subcommittees are very effective with. I'd be remiss, though she's probably wouldn't want me to say this, to fail to mention Rebecca and Rebecca Fleming and the work she does as the vice chair on TICPAC. Probably the best thing I ever did for this committee was suggest we have a vice chair, and I'll take that accomplishment and note Rebecca for doing that. So. Anything else, Randy, you want to add to the annual agenda summary? I know we're getting a little close to time, and I just want to make sure we have time for everything else.
I have nothing to add, but if anyone has any questions as they review, I'm happy to help answer those. You can email me or give me a call.
Great. John, anything else? Guess not. Okay, great. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw it to you, John, but I just want to make sure I didn't leave anything out.
I thank you, Judge, and I do want to echo your comments on you know, the advocacy for the branch, really a huge thank you to this group, because it's that harmonized voice that on identifying priorities, having the conversations, taking the time to educate the team on the branch needs is so very much appreciated. And so as we all are looking at this budget, I think it's this committee that really has a big part of setting the priorities for the branch, and it's very much appreciated. Thank you, Judge.
Very proper, John. I appreciate that. Thanks. All right, folks. So informational item number 4 is the $60 million one-time COVID-driven caseload backlog funding. Try to say that quickly. But this is sort of this horse has left the gate. So this is just an informational item. I'll remind you that we got the $60 million. We worked diligently to develop an allocation methodology. That was approved by the council, and the second half is going out in January. So the goal was to get that money out to the courts as soon as practicable, and I'm going to turn it back now very briefly, Brandy or Leah, to add to it about how that second half is going out. Brandy?
Sure. Yeah, I'll take it, Judge. Thank you. So the allocation approved by the council in October that the judge just mentioned was to distribute the funds in 2 separate allocations, and each was based on the most recent filings and disposition data for identifying backlog. So the first $30 million distributed in October, we have included in the materials the court-by-court details in Attachment A, And the second million that is going out this month to the trial courts is detailed at the end of attachment B, again, court by court. So I wanted to remind everyone that the $60 million is available for expenditure over a two-year period this time. So we have this fiscal year and next fiscal year until June 30, 2023 to spend these funds. Last year, with the $50 million COVID money, we did do a redistribution process where some courts identified they didn't need some money. And so we took that and spread out towards courts that needed additional funding. So we're considering that again for the $60 million. Because there's 2 years and we still have a bit of time, we'll likely reach out to courts at the beginning of the fiscal year next year to start assessing needs and do a distribution from there. So that's really all I have for this one, but we're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Anybody have questions? You do have the materials telling you now how the second half is going out, so everybody knows. Any questions of Brandy or others about that allocation? Okay, great, I appreciate that. I think that concludes. We did have an informational item on our agenda, but there's nothing further to report, and that's the trial court trust funds held on behalf of. That was with Cottrell, but as I understand it, there's nothing new to report there. We may be adjusting the funds held on behalf of reporting as we move forward, because typically it's handled very efficiently otherwise, but we'll get back to that. So I tried to move things along to wrap us up before 1:30, and here we are at not yet 1:10, and we're about to wrap up. Brandy, is there anything I've left out besides taking roll at the beginning?
No, Judge. Other than the action by email for the list of BCP priorities, we are planning another action by email. It's pretty routine and has to do with court-appointed dependency council funding. This usually comes at the end of the month, beginning of February, based on timing of when information is available. So this item never could really make it to a live tick back meeting. So expect a couple of action by emails before we get back together as a group in March.
And that requires a lot of work from you, and we really appreciate all you're doing for us. Absolutely. Also, our next meeting date?
March 10th.
Okay, March 10th. I can confidently state right now it won't be in person. We just received notice, as everybody is obvious, the Judicial Council meeting for next week is obviously not in person. We had an informal meeting yesterday, and we sort of took an informal pool about whether or not we'll meet this year. The hope is we will. That's all I can say. So I miss everybody. I'm sure everybody misses those get-togethers, but this is a great alternative to accomplish our work. So thank you all so much for everything you're doing for us. I've said a lot of thank yous, and thank you. With that, is there anything else for the good of the order? Anything? We've got a whole 15 minutes left if somebody wants to burn some time. I don't think so. All right, great. So thanks, everybody. Be well, please, and we'll stay in touch. Thank you all. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.